Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message. Father, we thank you,
for
this time together. We thank you for this Highway family, Lord. It's been a wonderful journey, Lord, and this is a journey that is brought about and enjoyed by trusting you.
Yeah.
And we thank you, Father, for this walk that we're on with you. It's a walk of trust in you.
Yeah.
And you're alive in us.
Yes.
And we're walking with you. Mm-hmm. We're not in a hurry, though sometimes we can feel that way. We just remind ourselves today to relax, to rest in you, that you've got it, that you're working it out for our good. And Lord, we are moving forward on the path that you've prepared for us. Just like it says, Father, in Ephesians 2:10, that you've prepared for us the good life.
Yeah.
That you prearranged and made ready.
Hallelujah.
For us to live. We're living that life. And nothing's going to stop that because you're our Father. And if you're our Father, it doesn't matter what anyone else says. If you're our Father, who can be against us? So, Lord, we remind ourselves of our position in your family, our sonship with you. We remind ourselves that you are our Father, that you're the one we've been looking for our whole lives. And Lord, we worship you.
Mm-hmm.
We exalt you this morning. We rest in you.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you, Father, for your plan fulfilled in our lives, for your purpose rising up inside of us,
yes.
Father. Lord, we let go and we let you,
thank you, Lord,
be God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I just enjoy these times so much. and I tell you, we want to encourage you to prepare yourself for our times together by trusting in him during the week. And we got a Wednesday night Bible study coming up, but trust in him between now and Wednesday. And cultivate that awareness of his presence in your life so that when we gather, you're already sensitive and aware to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Okay? Hallelujah.
That is the funnest, when you're hearing from God during your own time with him.
Yeah.
From the
yeah.
word, by his spirit,
yeah.
in prayer.
That's it.
And then you go and gather with other believers at church or,
yes.
at, you know, online.
Yes.
And you hear the same thing, or there's a confirmation of what the Spirit was telling you.
Yes.
He's so faithful to do that.
Yes, he is.
He's so faithful to do that. It is fun. It is fun
it
to
is
be
so
together
good.
With you, to be in the presence of God together with one another. It's just
Hallelujah.
A blessing.
Thank you, Father.
It's a rich life we live.
It is a rich life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we are we started a series last week entitled One Path, One Passion. And I'm so excited about this because we're all passionate about something. It might be passionate about doing nothing. I don't know, but we're passionate about something. We all have passion inside of us. And that's a passion is a God-given characteristic. God is passionate about you. And we want to combine that passion with the knowledge of who he is. Because you can be passionate without the knowledge of who he is, and boy, then you end up, you know, wearing yourself out or heading in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to combine passion with the true knowledge of Christ.
That's good.
When you've got the passion of Christ and you've got the knowledge of Christ, nothing can stop you.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start by reading to you Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 7, and we're going to read it in the Living Translation, or the Living Bible, actually.
You know what? Just I'm going to take this moment right here. I know you may be listening while traveling, but if you're at home, and definitely open your Bible. I know it's on the screen
absolutely.
There for you to see if you don't have it, but boy, we can't encourage you to open up
absolutely.
Your Bible enough
yeah.
and see it on the page.
Absolutely.
You know, with all the other words surrounding
yeah.
it, and have a pen ready and
mm-hmm.
take notes and be alert to what the Spirit of God is saying. It's
yeah.
it is when the Spirit of God speaks, which is regularly,
yeah.
it's valuable to capture yeah. that and to mark it.
Absolutely.
So get out
Absolutely.
Your Bible if you have it and just get in the practice of marking it and writing down and getting these pages inside of you.
So good. Yeah. So good. Mm-hmm. Remember, and I appreciate technology, but it will never surpass the simple written word on the page. And you need time without batteries, guys.
No kidding.
You need time without something that you have to recharge.
No kidding.
And that's just your simple hard copy Bible, just you and the Holy Spirit and someplace private where you can just sit there and trust in Him and read His Word and let the Holy Spirit teach you about Christ. Precious, precious times that I could not survive without. So we're going to start in Philippians 3, verse 7. And remember, this is a man who went through it, guys. This is a man who went through some stuff. And prior to knowing Christ, he was very passionate about God. Very passionate about God. He was so passionate about God that if anyone disagreed with his religion, he wanted to throw him in jail. So this was a man, Saul, who was a religious expert. He was at the top of the religious field, trained by the best. And along came Jesus. And along came these disciples of Jesus and began preaching and doing things in his name. And this made him very mad because it was different than his religion. And so his response was, we got to get rid of these people. And he stood there and watched as Stephen was stoned.
Yeah, people were killed at his direction.
He was doing what he could to arrest and drag to prison as many believers as possible. And something happened on his way. Christ appeared to him. And so I like to try and think what that must have been like. I remember what it was like not knowing him. I don't know if you do, but I do. And maybe you haven't had that experience. Maybe you've known him your whole life, but I didn't. I remember the darkness. I remember the pain. And I remember when he came into my life and how my whole life changed. So his whole life changed in this moment. And when the Lord spoke to him, he didn't know the Lord's name, but he said, who are you, Lord? He knew he was Lord. He knew that this was the Lord speaking to him. And Jesus began to reveal himself to Saul. And his name was changed from Saul to Paul. And he actually had a fivefold ministry gift. He was an apostle. Mm-hmm. And I can relate to this. This the change in my life and the fivefold ministry gifts that the Lord put in me. And then he began this relationship of knowing Christ personally, and he didn't even meet the original 12 yet. He was alone with Christ, and Christ was speaking. And I'm thinking,
the original 12 disciples that were
original 12,
Jesus.
Yeah. And of course, the 12th being the one that replaced Judas Iscariot.
Right.
Anyway, but I'm thinking of this personal relationship that he developed. And boy, this speaks to me. I'm just telling you about me, because I didn't have anyone in my life to teach me.
Other people. Yeah.
And I had to walk and talk to God. Mm-hmm. And I had to read my Bible and believe it. And I didn't even understand all that I was doing. I was just simply reading Jesus and grabbing a hold of him with my whole being. And that's what changed my life. And he began to show himself to me. And I want to encourage you that God is waiting to show himself to you. He's waiting to reveal to you how much he loves you. He's waiting to reveal to you his great plan and purpose for your life. And all that needs to happen is you need to give him your time. You need to give him, open the door of your heart and say, Father, come on in and show yourself to me. Show me how much you love me. Reveal yourself to me and show me, Lord, your plan and purpose for my life. So that's the man that's writing this. At this point, now he's an established apostle. Okay, he's met the heads of the church and James and in Jerusalem and he is approved and they recognize the calling on his life and he's ministering the gospel and this man who was an outcast and passionate but didn't have the knowledge of Christ became the man that ended up writing most of the New Testament. So a very significant man in the history of the world, okay? And he's sharing from his heart, and he describes what his life was like before and how important Christ is to him. And I want this to grow in us. I want this to be this is the heart of what we do, guys. This is the heart of my life, is knowing him. And I made a lot of mistakes, and sometimes I wish I was better at this or didn't do that. But the heart of it is I want to know him, and I'm going to trust in his grace in my life to get me there. So this is what the Apostle Paul is writing in verse 7. He says, but all these things that I once thought very worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Listen to verse 8. What a statement this is. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, you can get a supersized meal at McDonald's. How much does that cost?
I do not know.
You help me out. Well, if you like supersized everything, $10? I don't know.
I do not know.
I don't know. And that could be like valuable to you.
Yes.
But then you can go to a really nice restaurant and pay like $200 for them. If you line the $200 meal up to the supersized McDonald's meal, the value changes.
Absolutely.
If all you know is the McDonald's meal, Mariah, we're talking to you out there.
Ooh.
Oh, just kidding. I like to tease Mariah about McDonald's.
All you people with that app.
Come on, I'm loving it. Come on, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm not, no shame here. But really, if all you know is this meal from a fast food restaurant, it might be really valuable to you.
Yeah.
And there's like a menu. You can get a 99 cent something.
Yes, you can.
You can get a 59 cent something.
Yes, you can.
I'm going to splurge and go with the supersize.
So, come on. I don't want to be that out of touch. We did travel, and I went to McDonald's.
Oh, don't tell on us now.
And I asked.
Oh.
I asked. We have what? I don't know. Maybe you do now. We're getting off. But do you guys have the bundle? We had like the $3 bundle.
She knows the whole menu. Who's she kidding?
No, but we had all the advertisements around, and I was like, let me go see this. $3 bundle. We went and traveled through Arkansas.
Yeah.
No bundle.
You remember that? A dozen. Okay, I'm with you.
You remember that?
I think so.
You're talking about value. Yeah. I was like, well, I don't want it if it's not $3.
See? Yeah. So the $3 bundle, that might be valuable to you. You know, and it's a motivation. You see, like, oh, yeah, we had the billboard on.
Exactly.
Memorial
Let
there.
Let me see about that.
Yeah, you can get three things for, I don't know, whatever it is.
Right.
So
you're talking about value.
But what Paul, we're talking about value. What's valuable to you may change when something more valuable comes into your life.
Right?
Right? Mm-hmm. So that bundle was like a big value to Jennifer.
Right.
But we went to a really nice restaurant
on
Friday night.
Yeah.
And wow, we forgot about the bundle, didn't we?
We didn't pay $3.
No, we didn't pay $3. Oh, no. Bundle wasn't an option on this menu. But man, it was some of the most delicious food we've ever eaten. It was like, wow,
this is
really super delicious.
Way to go,
and I didn't see any golden arches. I wasn't even thinking about
it.
What happened? So what I used to think of as valuable faded away in the presence of the most delicious meal.
It was delicious.
And that's what it's like knowing Jesus. So there are things in our life like we might be clinging to, like, this is valuable to me, and I've got to have this, and I've got to do this, and I've got to whatever. But then all of a sudden, our eyes are open to the amazing love of Jesus Christ, to his disposition towards us, to his plan and his purpose for our lives, to his impossibility-breaking power. And all of a sudden, everything else starts to lose its value. And that's what happened in my life in the late 80s, going back some time now, last millennium. So that's what Paul's talking about. He says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared. So if you're not comparing it with who Christ is, it may not seem worthless to you. But when you compare with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, then it's worthless. And God is that good. And at Highway, we're not talking about religion. We're talking about the person of Christ. We want you to see him. We want you to taste him every day. We want you to eat Jesus, fresh, hot Jesus. He's the bread of life. Compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, I have put aside the $3 bundles. I put aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing, in order that I can have Christ.
I mean, I just want to say again, the things that Paul is referring to was status.
Sure. Achievements.
Achievements.
Yep. Approval of men.
You know, knowledge, even if it
knowledge,
was false.
Absolutely.
You know, we have knowledge, and it can be false.
Yeah.
And, you know, you value that because you think you know stuff.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying, status, achievement. position, knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He in the religious world,
mm-hmm.
and he laid it all down.
Sure, absolutely.
For this.
Right. That was Christ. The industry. That was the sphere he was in.
Mm-hmm.
I have put all aside all else, counting it worth less than nothing. Why? So that I can have Christ. So if you're valuing something equal to Christ, you're not going to be able to have Christ. I'm just being real with you. If he isn't your all, you're not going to be able to experience it. Not because he's holding back. He has freely given himself to all of us. He's waiting, he's hoping, he's desiring that we would let go and give our whole self to him. That's his desire. So if anything is competing with his value in your life, you're not going to experience all that he is. Are we all listening? Are we hearing? Come on. This is helpful to me this morning. Hallelujah. In order that I can have Christ, so I devalued everything else. And I raised my value of Christ above everything else. So high that compared to how much I valued him, everything else is worthless.
And, you know, I think it's important here, Joseph, too. What's sticking out to me is that he's saying that I can have Christ. That's Living Translation.
Yeah, that's it. So that I can have Christ. That's the motivation here.
In Philippians 3:8 in the New King James, it says that I may gain Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's not another set of doctrines. It's not another religion. It's not another. I trade one belief for a new belief. It's the person of Christ.
It's a person. Yeah.
It's the person of Christ that he's gaining access and relationship with Christ. I think that's significant because a lot of us understand the idea of laying down a thought or laying down a belief.
Yep.
But picking up Christ, not just another set of beliefs.
Yeah.
Around and about Christ, but Jesus himself is
so
what we gain.
So good. So good.
Yeah.
And you know what helps me, because sometimes we can get just ethereal or silly with things of God. I like the two things that help me understand God. One, I always ask my question, would a good father do that?
Okay.
When I'm reading the scriptures. Another one is thinking of marriage.
Okay.
Because our relationship with God, he is our father. But our relationship is also like it unto being married unto God, a marriage unto him. So if you think of, if you're thinking, devaluing everything and valuing Christ, if that seems like a challenge to you, well, just think of if you were going to get married. What do we do when we get married? Everyone else.
Forsake all others.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I don't care who I know. I'm marrying you.
I'm marrying you.
And I don't know anybody else. Mm-hmm. And no one else matters to me. And that's what happens.
Right.
And that's what love does. Love forsakes everyone and everything else for the one that you love. And that's what Paul's talking about. But first, and you really can't do that in marriage until you do that with Jesus.
Right. Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So whether you're married or unmarried is not the point. The point is that this type of love is a forsaking of all else. And that is what every believer is called into.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the hot life.
Oh, yeah.
This is the fresh, always new life.
That's right.
When everything else is worthless compared to how you value your intimacy and relationship with Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
Very important. Very important. I'm going to keep reading. Verse 9. And become one with him. So I've let go of everything else so that I can have him and become one with him. This is marriage, boy. This is marriage. No longer counting on being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's laws, but by trusting Christ to save me. Now, Paul came from law after law after law after law after law. And it was all about obeying the law, doing the written code.
Right.
That's where he's coming. He came out of that because of Christ. By obeying God's laws, but by trusting Christ to save me, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith, counting on Christ alone. Oh, that's huge. I'm going to keep reading. Now I have given up everything else. This is for every believer, guys. This is God's invitation and call upon our lives. Now I have given up everything else. I have found it to be, look at this, the only way to really know Christ is to give up everything else. Wow. The only way for me to really be married to Jennifer was to give up everything else. When we got married, we actually began living together from that moment on.
Not before.
No, not before. After we were married, yeah. We gave up where we lived before.
That's right.
And we began living together and doing everything together.
That's amazing.
This is what Paul's talking about. Yeah. Now, I have given up everything else. Why? I found it to be the only way to have a real marriage. Hello. And I've just speak to some marriages out there. You know, if the devil's tempting you to give up on your marriage, first of all, don't listen to him. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to thrive and flourish in your marriage. But there are many ways that the enemy will tempt you mm-hmm. to give up on your marriage. And he could tempt you to think that it just can't work because of you, because of your spouse, or he may tempt you with another person, whatever that might be. And if those temptations come, you remind yourself of God's love for you, his love for your spouse, and what real love is. And there's no way I can experience marriage until I let go of everything else, until I don't entertain any thoughts of anyone else, okay? That this is my wife, that we are one, and we have forsaken all else, and there are no other options, okay? This has to work. And that's what I'm talking about, with Christ and marriage. It's a big help to me over the years, even before I was married. And even before I understood what a dad was, I would think in these terms, okay? Because I didn't have really a good dad relationship in my life.
And I just want to say, you want to speak to marriages. I would say there's some of you who may have made the decision, I'll never leave my marriage, mm-hmm. but you've quit.
Oh, that's good. You're physically there, but you quit, yeah.
But you're checked out.
Yep.
Because
we can do that.
We can do that.
Yep. Sure.
And even in Christ.
In Christ. We're physically there, but we checked out.
We're in the relationship. Yep. Yeah, I prayed the prayer, mm-hmm. but I'm mm-hmm. checked out because he's not doing, God's not doing, or my husband's not doing what I want him to do. Or,
right. Sure.
Or
sure.
This isn't working out. This isn't shaping out like I thought it was going to, and you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
That's
can not, do that with church.
You can do it with God. You can do it absolutely. With marriage.
Right.
So don't do that.
Don't check out.
Don't check out. Mm.
Get hot.
Within that relationship. Get hot. That's right.
Yeah. And isn't that what the devil wants to do, is to check out?
Yeah. Because you can make the commitment and say, well,
I'll be there.
I'll be married. I'm not going to get a divorce.
Sure, sure.
But right. then you can, in your heart, right. just be so, like, whatever, disappointed, yeah. bitter, angry,
yeah. Yeah.
even within that. And God can work
sure.
on that and wants to.
Sure.
That's, you know, wants to. To change that and turn that around again, whether a marriage yep. or whether his relationship with you, yep. your relationship with him,
yep.
it's not to be, cold.
No, and that's one of the key things that can tempt us to get to check out is offense, getting offended
no
by something.
Kidding.
And this isn't any relationship. This could be in our relationship with the church,
yeah,
with
offended.
Each other, marriage, is a temptation to get offended at what that person said or didn't say,
right.
or how they said it, or
this
whatever,
could be parent
right?
And child,
it could be spouses, it could be friends, it could be coworkers, it could be anywhere. So the key is you want to guard yourself against offense, because if you check out from God's plan from your life, man, you're not gonna be happy. And I'm gonna tell you, God's yoke is easy. Jesus's yoke is easy and his load is light. But just hear what I'm trying to say, if I can get this out. But following him is not always easy. Okay, why? Because we're in enemy territory. So let me say that again, okay? The yoke of Christ is easy and his load is light. He is not hard. He's not harsh. He's gentle. He's kind. He's empowering. But this world's not that way. And
it's not going to open the door for you to follow Christ without opposition.
No. You're going to have opposition to God's plan in your life.
It's not going
to
cheer you.
It's like, woohoo, you're wonderful. You're following Christ. No. And sometimes in your closest circles, there's going to be offense or temptations to get offended or issues. And this is where a passion for Christ will enable you to walk right by those and to not give in to those and not check out and stay faithful to the plan of God for your life, okay? This is just so good. There's some rich things happening here. Now, I have given up everything else. I found it to be the only way. So there's not another way to know Christ. You do have to forsake all else. And I love that. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm not option seven or six. I'm the way. It's the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again. Wow. And here we go. If you want to experience God, let go of everything else. All your knowledge, all your status, your achievements, the approval. If you want, I found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience the mighty power that brought him back to life again. And to find out what it means to suffer and die with him. So whatever it takes, and this is the attitude we want to cultivate in this Highway family. So whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life. Of those who are alive from the dead. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes. I'm going to be one. I can't speak for everyone. I can try and encourage other ones. But if you let what others do stop you, you're going to get stopped. Okay? You've got to decide for yourself. Whatever it takes, I personally, I'm going to be one who experiences the resurrection power of Christ. I'm going to be one who walks in and lives in, as Paul says here, daily lives in the fresh newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. Yeah. Verse 12, I don't mean to say I'm perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet. And this is a man who's authoring most of the New Testament, right? I haven't learned all I should even yet. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. Very powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful. Very powerful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just listening on the inside. Let me read verses 12, 13, 14, and following in the Passion Translation, okay? This is verse 12 that we just read. We're going to read it in the Passion Translation. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance. I love that. What are we running into his abundance? The fullness of his plan for our lives. We run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I'm going to read that again. I admit I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. Keep reading. Friends, don't get me wrong. This is verse 13 in the Message. By no means do I count myself as an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. Have you ever seen a coach at the finish line of a tracking event and their runners coming around the last turn? What are they doing? Are they sitting there just kind of, come on, dig, 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 come on, dig, 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 dig. They're cheering them on. They're saying, dig deeper, run faster. You got this. Go, 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 go. And I believe the Holy Spirit saying that to us. Come on, dig, 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 run, go. You got this. Come on, dig, dig, dig. Because some of us are coming to a finish line, are coming to what we've been called into, coming to a new level, a new awareness, a richness of what he's called us into.
Qualifying.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yes. Okay. He's beckoning us onward to Jesus. He's like a coach at the finish line saying, dig, dig, dig. And he has new levels for you.
Yeah.
He has new depths, new heights, new breadths of his plan and purpose for your life.
That's good.
I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. All right, verse 15 in the Passion. So let all who are fully mature, so this is not for just the man writing this, who is actually speaking and writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us through one of the fivefold ministry gifts. So let all who are fully mature have this same passion. And if anyone is not yet gripped by these desires, God will reveal it to them. And let us all advance together to reach this victory prize, following one path with one passion. And Highway family, if I could encourage you in anything, it would be this. Jesus is the one that you're looking for. He's the career you're looking for. He's the partner you're looking for to spend your life with. He's the business venture that you're looking for. He's the hobby that you're looking for. He's the investment that you're looking for. He literally is the one that you're looking for. And when I mean that, every desire you have will find its ultimate satisfaction by pursuing him. And once we realize that, we can move forward with an unstoppableness. Because what are we pursuing? Not the approval of people, not a status, not a certain this, a certain that. We're pursuing his presence. We're pursuing intimacy with him. We're living in the fresh newness of life. We're determined to experience his resurrection power in our lives each and every day. One path, one passion. And Highway, I want to encourage you, again, what we're sharing with you, man, I believe it's by the Spirit of the Lord. I know his calling upon our lives, and Jennifer, myself, and in the fivefold ministry, and I can't tell you more times than I can ever count where I just didn't feel like doing it anymore. Just didn't want to go on, because you know, we're living in a fallen world. There are challenges in just interacting with people can be really one of the most challenging things.
But he's worth it.
But he is worth it. And that's what fills us with strength, is how much we've chosen to value him. And I just want to, so if you find yourself getting discouraged, check your value of him. As I find, no matter what anyone may or may not do to me, when I choose to exalt him and his value to me, the issues start to lose their grip on me.
Yeah, they don't bite so hard.
No, they lose their sting.
That's right.
Death wears your sting.
That's right.
And I'm refueled and inspired to keep going forward and even to do it at a greater level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a person just like you, and I've been in the body of Christ for decades now, and I love to study, I love to read, I love to learn, but I just tell you, there's a lot of ignorance out there of the true knowledge of Christ, and one of those areas as we get ready to worship the Lord with our money is in the area of giving, and I saw just recently some debating online about tithing, and I understand that. You know, tithing for the most part is not understood in the body of Christ, and usually what people will default to is when they think of tithing, they think of the Mosaic covenant. And they say, well, that covenant isn't in place anymore, so, you know, we shouldn't tithe. And I understand that thinking. And it's true that the Mosaic covenant has been fulfilled. But what is in place is this passionate relationship with Christ. And if you truly want to follow Christ and rightly divide the scriptures, long before Moses ever came on the scene, there was a man called Abram who God called and changed his name to Abraham, and he's the father of our faith. And there he had no Ten Commandments. He had no anything. He just had God asking him to follow him. And it was this simple relationship that was the model for our relationship with God today. That's why he's the father of our faith. God doesn't desire us to have to follow laws to do what he said. And my wife and I, we've never written out laws for us, for each other. Okay, Jennifer, here are the laws I'm writing out for you as my wife. Okay, Joseph, here are the laws. That would be a lousy marriage. Love moves you to do what needs to be done and what should be done. Now, this was the relationship Abraham had. And when Jesus appeared to Abraham, Melchizedek, back in Genesis, long before any Ten Commandments, Abraham's response to Jesus was so passionate that he gave him a tithe, 10% of everything he had. And that's what we do here at Highway. It's not based on the law. It's based on our response to who Jesus is. And actually, if you'll really want to be a New Testament believer, look at the book of Acts. They went so far beyond the tithe, I don't know if you can calculate it. In the book of Acts, they actually sold their possessions and properties and bought the proceeds into the church, way beyond 10%. So all this debate is kind of silly. When we give, we're talking about our value of Christ and our passion to know him. Okay?
Does it say in Hebrews that Jesus himself receives as the high
priest? He receives our tithes.
It's not a system or
religious law. It's not a religious thing at all.
It's now going directly to our high priest, to Jesus.
Absolutely, himself. Absolutely. Now, I can't see Jesus in this studio.
Right.
Or through the camera.
Exactly.
Where is he? He's at the right hand of the Father.
Exactly.
But the Holy Spirit, Christ is living us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But he receives what we do in faith.
Exactly.
So we're going to give to him now in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us churches and ministries to give to so that we can act on our faith.
Yeah.
Okay? So Highway Church, if this is your church, we want to encourage you to value Christ, to value what he's given you, and that is the ministry of helping you to experience who he is, and respond to that by bringing your money and worshiping with it. And 10% was the Abraham standard,
mm-hmm.
and it's a good standard, but New Testament, we go beyond that, you know. And again, it's not a law. It's not about the Malachi or, you know, Exodus or any of those things. It's about who Christ is. So, you know, you just rise above all the debates and the what about this, what's the Bible say about that, when you become passionate about knowing him.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, all these debates are really a waste of time. It's about Melchizedek.
Yeah.
It's about Christ delivering me and appearing to me and showing himself to me, and then I respond to that. So we're going to do that right now, and I've got my wallet in my back pocket. We do just about all of our transactions digitally, but I've got my wallet here symbolically and my phone here. And we're going to respond with passion to the deliverance of Christ in our life right now. And if Highway Church is your church, I want to encourage you to value Christ and respond right now and become a regular giver. And I like our giving page, highwaychurch.us.
It's easy.
Just click on give. Man, it's so you can like schedule recurring gifts like pretty much any kind of frequency you want. You know, daily, weekly, the first and third week of the month, the second and third and fifth. I mean, it's like, it's really flexible. So highwaychurch.us and click on give, and you've got a ton of options there. If you give online directly that way, also you can text. It's all there on our give page, highwaychurch.us/give. But again, do it in a valuing of Christ. Do it passionately,
yeah,
just because of who he is. Hallelujah. Just because of who he is. That's the only reason we give. Hallelujah. Now, if Highway Church is not your church, but it's a ministry in your life that you're benefiting from, we encourage you to consider becoming a partner with this ministry. How do you become a partner? By scheduling a recurring gift. Yeah, say, you know what? I'm getting blessed by this ministry. I'm learning about Christ. I'm growing in my relationship with him. You know, maybe I'll schedule a monthly gift, you know, or something like that. Let the Lord speak to your heart.
Yeah.
But again, the same thing. It's done out of passion for him, not out of a law, not out of a Mosaic code, but out of passion for him. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the most prosperous year of our life so far, 2024. Lord, it's time for mortgages to be supernaturally paid in full. It's time. And for us to have the equivalent in the bank. It's time for debt to be supernaturally taken care of. Lord, lead us into the spoil. Lead us into the treasures, Father. Lead us into the wealth that's been stored up for us this year, right now in February. Lead us there, Father. Take us there. And we will collect it for your glory. We will collect it and use it for your glory and rejoice in your provision in our lives. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of his goodness, who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life he came to give you.